Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Okay, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Are we sure Elon Musk is not a robot?
He could very well be.
Look at this video, Nick. You can describe it. Look at this video and tell me that it doesn't look like he's glitching here. Roll it, Phil.
Which is one of the things he said he was going to do.
His head is spinning. His eyes are rolling around.
Look at him.
I mean, is that the...
Guys.
What does he have? Asperger's? What is it?
He's on the spectrum.
It looks like he's glitching a little bit.
He's
a robot.
Close.
Stop.
No, he's close to whatever you said, the spectrum.
Yeah, he's
autistic, right?
He has some of the tism.
Or maybe
maybe
he's on a little ecstasy or something. I don't know.
Well, there were those reports out there.
Yeah, I'm just throwing, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what he's on, but I mean, he does microdose.
Yeah.
I think he's mentioned that.
Yeah. Remember that blunt he was smoking on the Rogan show?
That's Asperger's to look like your eyes are rolling in the back of your head?
Is it Asperger's? Or am I getting...
Which is considered on the spectrum, yeah. Apparently.
Yeah, he's got all... Look, I would venture to say that Elon Musk is a hot mess.
Why do you say he's a hot mess?
The guy never sleeps. He's playing video games. He's running 5 companies. He's probably chugging Red Bulls. He's got 42 kids with 19 moms.
Does not. Here's the thing about him. I think, and that's why it was, I think we should have all said, everybody should have said that when...
I love throwing a grenade.
I know. Triggers. When CNN and everybody was saying, oh, look at his, when he was saying that, you have my heart, and he was putting his hand on his heart and flinging out his arm like that, and he does have sort of robotic different movements, and they were saying he was doing a Hitler thing. I think those CNN anchors, all the people who were saying that, AOC, you played that audio yesterday, we should say, you guys are bullying and making fun of somebody who's on the spectrum.
Oh, for
shame
God's
on
sake.
You.
Well,
no, that's what we have to do to them.
They're slandering them. They're defaming him, which is remarkable if you
ridiculous.
Think about it.
Oh, the pearl clutching. He can take care of himself.
ABC News.
Well, you know why I'm saying that, because that's what they would
do. But it's ridiculous.
They've all been hit with defamation suits. You think they would tread a little bit more carefully before they start throwing stones again, right?
And by the way, the new FCC appointed by Trump, new FCC chair, is reinstating all, they're looking at all those, I think, CBS. CBS is definitely going to settle, but we'll see with ABC and that debate that was right here.
They've all been
in Philadelphia,
including Fox, going back to the defamation against Dominion, right? Every network, whether you like the network or you hate the network, has been slapped with defamation in the last 4 years. It's amazing.
I don't know. That video is amazing.
It is. I'd like to party with Elon. I have a couple of Tito's.
I don't know if he drinks. I think he just imbibes in substances because, seen it. We've seen it with Joe Rogan. He's admitted to microdosing.
Yeah.
So, like, me asking if he's on X or Molly or whatever the hell it's called now, with his eyes rolling back, and it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Where was that at, by the way? Was that during the pastor's sermon, or was that a different thing?
It looks like it's in the rotunda.
Okay.
They're all bowing their heads.
Yeah.
Which is another... Phil, roll it one more time. They're all bowing their heads, which is another interesting... Which is another... We don't need to hear the audio.
He could have a neck cramp.
Well, look... Could he be meditating like Gary Stamp said? Like, he could be doing, like, exercises. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. Or he could be saying, man, there's 8,000 things I'd rather be doing right now than standing here.
But his pupils are pretty...
They are pretty big. Yeah, I love big pupils. I like big pupils, and I cannot lie.
Yeah.
855-839-1210. All right, we do have to get to Dawn's news, but don't forget, the Spelling Bee is coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. And I think, and Jimmy Kelly's done a great job putting together some production for this. We have another giveaway with that concert that's coming up. I forget what it is, but it's awesome. It's, we've been doing it all week. January 31st, Lock Performing Arts Center, kind of like a cover band type thing. I'll give you those details. That's what you will be playing for. And everybody on the show is going to participate in this. I've got a bunch of famous Philadelphia-based institutions for our Spelling Bee that include eateries, buildings, politicians, past or present, places, sports, universities, food, those that have left Philadelphia for Hollywood and for entertainment. All of that coming up. I'm going to give you a name or a word or a building, and you're going to have to spell it correctly. You're going to want to get on the phones. We're going to have some fun with this. Stocker, Dawn, Phil, and Jimmy Kelly will all be put to the test in a spelling bee. I'm excluded. I'm exempt. I came in third place in the fifth grade Paxinosa Elementary spelling bee, so I've already proven my chops.
And we know you can't spell. That, so.
Well, my grammar is terrible, but I know I can spell. Actually, you know what? You guys can give me words, and I'll participate as well if you'd like. But if you can do better than the entire cast of Kale & Company, you're going to get the prize that we have for you that we typically would give away on the Morning Mystery Movie Clip.
By the way, Robert Hawkins says, are we all aware that Greg is for sure on the spectrum, but completely unaware of it? Okay, maybe I am.
Oh.
Are you?
Robert.
Wow.
What a dummy he is.
Oh, Robert taking shots. You don't like it. You calling out Elon, and then you, Robert does a stalker and makes you out to be Elon. You don't like it now.
I have a thin skin.
All right.
How dare you.
All right, let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:10. No thin skin.
Just sit there and listen like a good, yeah.
Yeah. Just tough loving from Dawn Stensland.
Wow. Good morning, Kale & Company News Live this morning. On this Thursday morning, January 23rd, we are sponsored by Piazza Auto Group with cold weather warnings and alerts still in effect this morning. But I'll tell you when we will break at least the deep freeze. Want to get to all of what's going on, but there is some breaking news this morning because police are confirming that a person has died after being struck by a SEPTA Broad Street Line train. This is in Philadelphia's Center City. It happened within the past less than 2 hours ago this morning, 300 block North Broad Street, right there at the Race Vine Station. Rescue crews answering the 911 calls as they were responding to reports of a person under a train. But that person was tragically pronounced dead at the scene. So express service temporarily suspended. That's in both directions, but I believe that has just resumed. And SEPTA police, as well as others, are investigating at the scene. So that's the breaking news this morning. We also have a warning, as well as a plea from the Philadelphia Department of Health. They're saying that the city's first suspected case of avian influenza, bird flu as it's commonly known, has been detected in a snow goose. And this sick goose was found in the 1200 block of North 59th Street right near Carroll Park. And this is West Philadelphia. It was actually found Saturday, January 11th. So over the weekend, Saturday, January 11th, then they had to go through the testing of everything and the state testing. The preliminary testing shows that this bird indeed had bird flu. So the plea they're putting out here, if you were in that area of Carroll Park and had any kind of direct contact with the sick snow goose on or around January 11th, they're saying please contact the Philadelphia Department of Public Health's Division of Disease Control. They just want to make sure that if somebody was exposed to it or came close to it, saw it, that they want to make sure that they're tested so that they can get some early treatment. And so they say that the threat, they're not trying to make any panic. The threat to H5N1, as it's known, is low, but they wanted to issue this alert out of an abundance of caution. What if somebody was there, maybe their little, you know, child ran up to it and touched it, which they just put out that warning. You know, if you see a dead bird or a dead animal anywhere, just don't go up and touch it, especially with your bare hands.
Yeah.
Or let your dog or cat, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Maybe we could do some contact tracing now, right? Eesh. Remember those days?
Yeah, right.
Oh, jeez. That's the last thing we, with everything that's going on right now with COVID, the flu, RSV, norovirus, and whatever else is out there. And the last thing we need is bird flu in this area.
I knew somebody, I told you guys this, right? A girlfriend of mine, her dad died of bird flu, but this was like more than 15 years ago that this happened. And so I was like, what is that? And she said, they still don't know how he got it. And so all I can think of is that these Canadian geese, they're a migratory bird. And it, you know, you think about, they poop everywhere. You know what I mean? You're
really?
Out walking your dog, you're going for a walk, and they're all around ponds, and they're so I think you have to think about that and be careful. So take your shoes off at the front door.
Yeah.
Don't track it all over the house.
Maybe we should send some troops up to the northern border. Send up 10,000 of them and keep the geese out of here.
Yeah,
stay
right.
in Canada.
We've been talking this morning a lot about the fast-moving developments within the new administration, the Trump administration. The Lake and Riley Act, which we've talked a lot about, as you know, heading to President Trump's desk this morning after passing the House yesterday. It'll be the first bill Trump signs into law as president in his new administration, a bill that would allow the detention of undocumented immigrants illegally who've come here accused of any kind of violence, crimes, theft-related issues. It's all part of the president's plan to overhaul immigration policy, and we've been talking a lot about this. The Lake and Riley Act, named, of course, in memory of a nursing student murdered last February by an illegal immigrant in Georgia, and that illegal immigrant arrested, charged, and then it was confirmed that he is a gang member. According to the authorities, the prosecutors there, she was stalked and, stalked, raped, murdered, tortured by this person, or allegedly by this person. It's a horrific story.
Well, I think it's Jose Ibarra, I believe is his name.
The suspect.
Yeah, and he was already convicted. That case is over. I mean, he's gone. He's done.
So it's just, it's sickening because he was... The media seemed hesitant to report on his criminal past, how many times even he had been detained here, allowed to slip through the cracks.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll continue to talk about that this morning. But yesterday, President Trump even signing new executive orders, and in the newest executive order, invoking the National Emergencies Act regarding what Trump has called the crisis at the southern border of the United States. And so the executive order declares a national emergency at the southern border following what the White House calls 4 years of record-shattering illegal immigration into the United States. At the same time, we know that the raids, the ICE raids and arrests were happening yesterday. Among those 300-plus arrested, accused murderers, pedophiles, rapists, violent predators who've come illegally into this country. And the executive order signed yesterday directs the Secretary of Defense to deploy additional personnel to the border, including members of the armed forces and the National Guard. So you're looking at thousands of individuals who have already been deployed to the southern border. It directs the Secretaries of Defense as well as Homeland Security to finish the wall along the southern border, get the job done, and ensures that DHS has all the flexibility it needs to operate air missions right near the border.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw also, speaking of the border, Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, is back in the buoy business, setting up all of those, you know, roadblocks along, you know, his jurisdiction, which was great to see, which we know the Biden administration made very difficult for him over those 4 years.
And the White House declaring yesterday is part of this, saying this has the last four years policies have led to untold hundreds of thousands of children being trafficked, and citing the number 550,000 unaccompanied children here illegally, brought here illegally by illegals, and they were encountered at some point at the border or estimated by Border Patrol. So they've come here, that 550,000, that more than 500,000 number, since the fiscal year 2021.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So those are some of the numbers that they're citing just yesterday. by the White House. They also talk about fentanyl and other drugs pouring over the border, they say, flooding our communities, killing at least 75,000 Americans just last year, and the number one cause of death for Americans ages 18 to 45.
About that. The number one killer the first half of your life as an adult is fentanyl.
So, you know, I'm always checking now the whitehouse.gov, which I always checked in the previous administration. They didn't have all of it, but this is the latest thing you'll see at the top, the latest news conference that was just put out yesterday. They talk about the dangerous gangs that have come into this city, and specifically one of the latest releases by the White House cites by name Americans like Lake and Riley, Jocelyn Nunn Gary, Rachel Morin, and says many, many others.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So citing them by name. And so we'll continue today. The breaking news will continue throughout the day. Obviously, there will be a live news conference, no doubt, and we will see President Trump sign. And it will be the first law that he enacts or signs into law, because the House just passed this yesterday. So watching for that. And we haven't even brought up the fact of what happened at 5 p.m. yesterday after Trump had issued that executive order terminating illegal DEI and diversity, equity, inclusion, accessibility mandates, policies, programs, preferences, activities in the federal government under whatever name they appear.
Yeah.
That's all going on.
He also got rid of the requirement for you as a legal immigrant, keyword legal, about the vaccination requirements for COVID, which is huge. So now if you were seeking legal migration, or you were, you know, I don't know all the nuances to it, but there was that requirement about getting the COVID shot, which was also so hypocritical during the last administration, where Americans were forced to get a COVID shot with a vaccine mandate, but illegal immigrants could come into the country unvaccinated. So that whole COVID vaccine mandate hypocrisy, that's come to a close as well.
Yeah, we could go on and on just talking about what happened yesterday and the nuances within some of these reversals of laws and so on. I'll take you locally really quick. Philadelphia City Council, it's Thursday. They meet Thursdays. So this will be the first time they meet since, and doesn't it seem like a month ago this happened, but it just is a week ago, that this is the first city council meeting since they learned that the Sixers arena will not go along Market East.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're expecting some fireworks. They held that special hearing yesterday to deal with the sanctuary city status. And then in contrast with some of the Trump, you know, executive orders we've talked about, we have that going on. I'll just bring up to you that the Philadelphia School District wants all high school students who failed their state algebra tests to retake them in an attempt to pass. They're offering a cash incentive.
Cash incentives to pass a test?
Yes.
Is there a more useless subject than algebra?
I was just going to say.
Math matters. We talked yesterday about all these.
Adding, subtracting, dividing, multiplying,
math
percentages.
We have to teach it differently.
I haven't used algebra since 10th grade.
Math, fine. Algebra, like, that's not, no.
Yeah.
No.
I was terrible at both.
There's no reason, unless it specifically relates to a field that you're in.
That's not true.
That you need algebra.
Have you ever?
How dare you?
Have you ever? Okay, let me give you an example.
No,
okay.
We're going to do an algebra test today.
We're
going to
do a little algebra
and
here.
Spelling bees. I love this.
Have you ever owed money? Let's say to
a bookie.
School, maybe paying off your student loan back in the day.
Yes. Yeah.
And you say to whatever, if you're negotiating that, and you say, well, can we amortize these payments? Can we instead of paying in a lump sum? Can we amortize these?
Yeah, I don't even know what amortize
means. What does that
mean?
So Dawn with Dumb and Dumber. Nick, Dawn's
the
smart one, folks.
Dawn, do you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? Sorry.
So, now what grade did you say this was? Because I remember algebra was ninth grade.
Yeah, eighth.
Geometry was 10th. Algebra 2 was 11th. And then we didn't have to take trigonometry in 12th if we didn't want to.
That's public schools.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
Which is why Philadelphia school, why we're just to a disadvantage.
Yeah.
Because kids in the private schools, I mean, they're getting algebra years earlier than public schools. On top of it, we have a teacher shortage.
Learn a trade. Stop with the algebra. Learn a trade.
Well, if you learn a trade, you would actually learn more about algebra than clearly you're learning in the public schools.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because
yeah.
My brother always says that even learning how to do, my brother can do electricity, construction, mm-hmm. he can do plumbing. And he points out, I mean, he scored so high in all the SATs, and he never studied for it.
Yeah.
And it's because since he was a kid with my dad, my unk, you know what I mean, my grandpa, mm-hmm. he learned all of that.
Yeah.
And you're actually learning math.
Can your brother follow a clock and hit a break on time?
I can't.
He actually would better than I do. All right, we are sponsored by Piazza Auto Group. Get special 0% financing for up to 72 months on the new 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan or ID4 electric SUV. So just visit Piazza Volkswagen of Langhorne or Piazza Volkswagen of Ardmore at its new location, 205 East Lancaster Avenue. That's 205 East Lancaster Avenue right there in beautiful Ardmore. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group. We're headed up to 30 degrees today, and we'll be out of the deep freeze as we're now into the 30s until Sunday. But that's when we hit the 40s. Woohoo! Bright sunny days ahead. Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Up next, it is all Doug's fault. But first, no fault with Piazza Auto Group or the Honda Prologue.
No, do that again. She just did one. Thank you.
Oh.
Okay, I'll do it.
Not allowed to do two.
All right.
It's too much Piazza love,
Nick. I should have stopped with a great tease. I had the tease nailed. Back after this.
Yeah, we got to talk about our friends at Marvin E. Cans. I'll tell you what, I have no doubt that the guys who are coming out today or tomorrow, they probably are some of the guys that we're talking about who are better at math like my brother, because they did go to great trade schools, highly trained and fully vetted, because that's what Marvin E. Cans is all about. By the way, a third generation owned, locally owned, veteran founded company. Jonathan Cans telling me about his grandfather, great grandpa, who was a war veteran and a war hero for that. So I had them out. I'm so glad I did before this deep freeze so that my HVAC, my heating unit is running just great. Take my advice. Call Marvin E. Cans. You want to make sure that your furnace gets checked, especially in this deep freeze of winter. Here's the thing. If you need a new unit or you need some parts replaced, they're going to give you an honest assessment at a fair price. And then they may very well install a high efficiency train furnace. That's my recommendation. It's hard to stop a train, T-R-A-N-E. You got to check them out. Marvin E. Cans. And by the way, they are not commissioned salespeople. They're highly trained technicians. Great guys. Contact Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. Marvin E. K-A-N-Z-E. Remember the name, MarvinEcans.com. Tell them Dawn sent.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's get to this. We've had a lot of heavy topics the last couple of days. Let's get into the gossip, so to speak, in the political world. You know, we've been talking about, Michelle Obama, and she, apparently, is on the outside looking in maybe at her own marriage. I mean, is it possible that Barack and Michelle, as well as Kamala and Doug, both get divorced in 2025? Interesting to keep an eye on if you like that sort of juicy gossip. But the Daily Mail with a story, and I've got to give, and look, the Daily Mail is tabloidish in nature. I would say it's more tabloidish than the New York Post, which is far more, I would say, harder hitting journalism. But you have to give the Daily Mail credit.
No, it's not. The New York Post is not hard hitting journalism.
I think you don't. Miranda Devine?
No. Okay. Maybe one reporter, but yeah. New York Post is not. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Well, what would you consider hard-hitting journalism? I mean, I would say Michael Schellenberger and people like that without a, bought and paid for interest would be,
I don't know,
the Barry Weisses of the world.
My thoughts are always you want to find the best journalist, the best, scoops on stories, go locally.
Locally?
Yeah, locally.
Who's a hard-hitting journalist locally? Don, you're a journalist. Who would you consider hard-hitting locally?
Yeah, who would you consider, Greg?
I don't know. I'm just saying that usually the best scoops come from local journalists.
I would say the one of the people I think is the best is Steve Keeley.
Yeah.
Steve is not. The funny thing is he does not have a title of investigative journalist. He's not part of an investigative unit. But I think he breaks more stories than if you look at cumulative over the years than anybody I can think of in the city.
No, it's actually a fascinating conversation. We can go down that sidetrack rabbit hole if we want. I'm thinking of 3, 6, 29, and 10 on mainstream television here in Philadelphia. I mean, Steve Keeley, Fox 29. You're not going to say like Yuki Washington or Action News people. Like those are
their anchors are reporters.
Yeah, Yuki was a sports guy who made an anchor guy.
And
he's never out in the field.
And maybe I'm thinking back to my days in Philadelphia with sports. The Philadelphia sports beat writers, they never broke a story at all. It was always the big national people with all the agents and the contacts that would get the dirt. So, I mean, that's why I kind of look at
John Clark sometimes.
John Clark is very good. Yes, he is a grinder. He'll be at airports at 5 in the morning for the scoop.
Kind of lives it.
Yep, absolutely. So the Daily Mail is reporting that former Vice President Kamala Harris is in marriage turmoil as she is now blaming Doug Emhoff for losing the presidency for her. This is unbelievable. Wow. First of all, I want to play you this clip here. This is K-10, Phil. This was Jen Psaki. Remember in the fall, late summer, early fall, it was all about masculinity, right? Once Kamala Harris became the candidate and Tim Walz was her VP, all we heard was about Tim Walz redefining masculinity and Doug Emhoff. And then the Daily Mail, credit to them, they were the first and for a while the only outlet that was reporting on the fact that Doug Emhoff knocked up his nanny, impregnated her while being married to his first wife. That is confirmed, in fact. And then there's allegations that Doug Emhoff has physically assaulted women and was also a sexist, chauvinistic pig in his L.A. law firm. That has not been confirmed, but those are the reports. And this is Jen Psaki talking with Doug Emhoff just a few months ago about masculinity.
Important part, an interesting part of how people have talked about your role here is how your role has reshaped the perception of masculinity. And I'm not sure you planned on that, but you are an incredibly supportive spouse. Has that been an evolution for you? And do you think that's part of the role you might play as first gentleman?
It's funny. I've started to think a lot about this. I've always been like this. My dad was like this. And to me, it's...
That guy's a stone fraud. Sources saying that Doug Emhoff has been labeled dead weight in the marriage. You never want to be dead weight. Never want to be dead weight, right? You don't want your wife to ever call you dead weight. You don't want the in-laws to call you dead weight. Not that I have any experience in being called that. You do not want to be called dead weight. And now, according
to... Take it from me.
Yes. Oh, my Lord. Yes. And now...
Nick's therapy session at 7:37 in the morning.
According to the report, it says she weighs her political future. And if you want to know about her political future, Esty Palti, our girl who does the Kamala impersonation, gave us a great glimpse into the future of what Kamala's political future looks like. Go back and watch the video on our 1210 Twitter feed. She has to consider whether or not Emhoff is an asset or a liability moving forward in her public professional career. One source exclusively told the Daily Mail, quote, "There's plenty of blame to go around as far as Kamala is concerned, and Doug has his fair share. Doug did Kamala no favors during the election, frankly. He looked like a hypocritical ass after the bombshells that he had got his child's nanny pregnant while married to his first wife and allegedly assaulted his ex-girlfriend on the heels of his I Am Woman crusade. Despite their brave united front at the inauguration and at Jimmy Carter's January 9th funeral, those close to the couple believe all is not, quote, hunky-dory between them. And word is, the husband of California girl Kamala has already signed up for a job with a Big Apple law firm, which would require them to split their time between New York and Los Angeles. But behind the scenes, there's more details. And behind their carefully curated social media posts and campaign photos, even the strongest of those relationships are facing challenges." Another source went on to say, quote, "I see the signs that not all is hunky-dory in the Harris household. It's not like she hasn't had men help further her political career before," the source said, referring to her affair with the former San Francisco mayor that John Farish loves to bring up, that being Willie Brown. But the question is now, what does Doug do for her moving forward? Those closest to her believe she will skip the race for California governor, which she believes is, quote, "a thankless no-win job," and instead try for the presidency again in 2028. So there you go. Masculinity. For weeks and weeks, we heard that Dougie and Timmy were all about it, and all of us straight, white, heterosexual, male Trump supporters were toxic masculinity. Just interesting how the media always props these individuals up, and they are nothing but the biggest bunch of frauds. And that works on both sides, by the way. That's not just Democrats. There's a ton of fraud Republicans out there that claim to be holier than now, and they're the biggest scumbags alive as well. So I call it as I see it. But Doug Emhoff, yeah, he's dead weight. Dawn, your thoughts on this? I mean, you're a wife. You deal with men. You've got boys. I know. I can tell firsthand. There's been times where I was a little lazy, and my wife looked at me, and she says, "I need you to get off your you-know-what and carry your fair share of the weight."
I think that
is Dougie a freeloader?
I think somebody who, think about her, and there, the headlines this morning, New York Post, unemployed Kamala Harris's neighbors are annoyed by her return. I guess she had this, you know, full of fanfare return to her Brentwood home on Monday. And there are all these headlines about, you know, her coming back to California, and that people are not happy with her in California, and especially accusing her of, you know, insensitivity, basically coming back, expecting everybody to be like, "Oh, you know, we're so happy you're back home and welcome." And they're like, "What have you done for us lately?" And the fires, by the way, intensifying with the Santa Ana winds yesterday and the death toll rising. I would say this, that as a professional individual, for her to blame her husband, it shows her personality. She is not someone who takes accountability.
True.
Because if you can't take accountability in your own marriage, it takes two to tango.
Yep.
I mean, my husband said, we'll celebrate 25 years of marriage this year. By the way, happy wedding anniversary to the Trumps,
yeah.
Melania and Donald,
so
yesterday,
you're 20
years.
You're 25 is coming up?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, this. But Larry has a saying that it takes at least one of you at any given time. One of you has to be in love, because sometimes you got to carry the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But if both of you, you know, and that, but the truth is, you know, we're all grown ups. We're professionals, and you cannot you know, she's the professional politician. She ran for president.
She had a 92% staff turnover rate.
Yes.
You thought the reports of Carrie Underwood being a pain in the butt were legit. There's no doubt about it that Kamala Harris must be painful to work for or perhaps even live with, right? I mean, 92% turnover rate. Eventually, it's like it's a you thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you keep getting fired from job after job after job, or you keep going through relationship after relationship after relationship, you can only point the finger so many times, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, woe is me. It's always your fault. Eventually, you might have to just look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? Maybe I'm the one with the character flaws or the issues that I need to correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's absolutely spot on with Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I mean, they've been married 10 years. So it's not, you know, like to turn to him, he's not a professional politician. You knew who you married.
Yeah.
Be accountable. But obviously she's going to blame Dougie.
Yep. I will defend Doug and other men married to female politicians. There's no doubt. I would, and I've said this before, I can do nothing better than anybody. If you told me right now that my wife was running for president, I would have no issue being first gentleman. First gentleman. I would go to all the fundraisers. I'd have champagne. I'd do the whole hors d'oeuvres.
Trust me. Don't touch anybody's nanny there. Look at that ass.
And the whole world could be like, oh, Nick, find your marbles and return them to your, you know what, carry your fair share of the weight. I would be a great first gentleman. I'd have my hair done.
Kale. Running to be a kept man.
That's right. I'd have no. And I've said this also on the show. If my wife was like a surgeon and made five times what I make, I would have no shame in that whatsoever.
That's great.
Would you work? Would you work?
If my wife was a surgeon?
Yeah.
I'd do a Saturday show for you.
Yeah.
7 to 10. I'd fill the old Opelka spot. Just to keep the fastball alive from time to time.
But you know, look at what you're real, and you know what I mean. He got up there at the DNC, and we had to watch all of it so that you all didn't have to. And you know, he came off as like, oh, I'm Mr. Nice Guy, and you know what I mean. It was all this big smarmy act.
He makes Gavin Newsom seem believable.
Yeah.
I swear to God. 855-839-1210. All right, we'll come back. Let's get to what's on the cut sheet. Don't forget, are you better at spelling than the mayor of Philadelphia? We will do a Sherelle Parker-themed spelling bee coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. And then also Athan Koutsourambis from Real Clear Politics, why he believes the GOP victory this past fall was no fluke in the state of Pennsylvania. So purple trending red, he believes it's red moving forward. We'll get his data points on why he believes so coming up in just about an hour and a half. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group. We're talking about the Honda Prologue. It is Honda's first all-electric SUV with a range of almost 300 miles. On a single charge and a fast charge time, you can cruise the roads worry-free, and it comes with three different charging options to choose from, including that portable charging kit for when you are on the go, because we're all busy. We're all going from work to the house, to the kids' extracurricular activities, dropping them off at school. That portable charging kit will always come in handy. You can lease the Prologue today for as low as $229 per month. How about that? A Honda SUV for under $230 a month. Visit Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Springfield, Reading, or Langhorne. Or you can check them out online right now during the commercial at PiazzaHonda.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
What? On the cut sheet.
What's on the cut sheet on this Thursday? Sponsored by First Harvest Credit Union. Open a First Harvest Credit Union growth savings account and earn as high as 3.25% annual percentage yield. Visit firstharvestcu.com/growth savings or your nearest branch for details. Membership restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA. Remember the other day when Trump was signing the executive orders?
Mm-hmm.
Peter Ducey was the guy in there, and he told them about the letter that Joe Biden
in the desk.
Left in the desk. He reminded him. Well, apparently, Trump gave the letter to Peter Ducey. And Peter Ducey went on TV and said what the letter said. Would you guys like to hear what the letter from Joe Biden to President Trump said?
Yes.
I'm always fascinated by this stuff.
I am too.
You know what I mean? To see how this rolls out. All right, roll it, Phil.
Now, for the first time anywhere in the world, this history-making text of what it said on the inside. The letterhead was of Joseph R. Biden Jr. It said, President of the United States. And his cursive handwriting that I reviewed was difficult to read at times, but this is what I got from the letter. Let's read it together. Dear President Trump, as I take leave of this sacred office, I wish you and your family all the best in the next 4 years. The American people and people around the world look to this house for steadiness in the inevitable storms of history. And my prayer is that in the coming years will be a time of prosperity, peace, and grace for our nation. May God bless you and guide you as he has blessed and guided our beloved country since our founding. Joe Biden, 1-20-25. And that is it. I got a call that President Trump was ready to share the contents of the letter. We heard him last night describe it as inspirational. And that is, we can confirm the president's assessment. All right. It is an inspirational, forward-looking well wish, and quite possibly the only time that they will exchange letters ever again.
So there you have it. Does anybody actually believe that Joe Biden wrote the letter?
Well, he said it was hard to read.
Yeah. I know the front of the envelope, we saw the picture of it and we saw the video when Trump pulled it out of that drawer in the desk. It just said 47 on the front of the envelope, and there's the contents on the inside. I don't know, after 4 years and everything that happened in this country, it seems a little too rich for my blood, but
a little anticlimactic too. I mean, I would have liked to have heard him say something like, "You're a threat to democracy."
Yeah,
I can't believe you won this.
Do you really keep Hitler in your prayers? I don't know. I just find that interesting that after all that, then it's, well, you know, we wish you the best and okay, just go away.
I also think this is Trump knew that. I think it's fascinating that he gave that letter to Peter, and it's a neat thing for Peter to have, obviously, because it's an actual piece of American history.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that thing should be in a museum.
You know?
I mean, we had the most incredible 4 years from a political standpoint we'll probably ever have again in our lifetimes.
But the fact that he gave it to Peter is fascinating to me. He always wants to give a little gift in the Oval Office there.
Is it me, or is there this sense of, and I try to call it the way I feel and the way, you know, what I see. Is Trump trying to, like, I mean, he hasn't taken a lot of shots at Joe and Kamala in the last couple of weeks. I mean, it's been a...
He won. To your point, they still, everybody wants to take shots at him and do all this and that. He's not, I don't think he's somebody who looks in the rearview mirror. You know what I mean? Who look in the room?
Yeah, there was no part in the last 4 years where he was consumed with 2020 or anything. Yeah, he never looks in the rearview mirror.
Well, the reason that he looked at that was because he didn't have the job.
Yeah.
But right now, think about the world. I mean, he's busy.
He doesn't. Now,
he's really busy.
I know he teed off and we got the mean tweets, a.k.a. now the mean truths, you know, the 12:39 a.m. post about the pastor, which was glorious because now we have a hoax and we've got mean tweets in 2 days. I love it.
And then she was on The View yesterday, too.
But other than that, he's, I don't know, and maybe I could be wrong because in 3 days from now, he might just go on a tirade and just be, you know, nuking everybody with his words. But he does seem a little more subdued this time, doesn't he?
Yes.
I don't know. Again, I hate to be like that guy, but like, it just seems, you know, after the shooting, you know, and I'm not even trying to claim that he's found religion, because I don't buy that. I really don't. You can get mad at me for saying that. I don't believe that. But like, when you do get, I mean, you're in a spot where you were millimeters away from dying. Maybe you do lose a little bit of the desire to throw the fastball every single day, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not to say that he still doesn't have it,
but there's no need to throw 20 fastballs in the first inning if you can mix in slider, curveball, and changeup.
Speaker Mike Johnson, speaking of that, has announced that Congress will investigate Joe Biden's pardons of his family members. Because we just can't let stuff go. We have to keep going with things. Roll cut two, Phil.
Mr. Speaker, to potentially have any type of congressional action on the pardons that President Biden issued over the last couple of days?
It was shocking. I mean, it was shocking. What President Biden did on the way out, pardoning his family for more than a decade of whatever activity, any nonviolent offenses. It was breathtaking to us. I don't think that's anything like that's ever been anticipated. And by the way, go look at the tape, 4 years ago, when it was just implied that President Trump might do something similar. They were apoplectic. Joe Biden himself, Adam Schiff, Chuck Schumer, roll the tape. They all said that would be crazy and unconscionable, and now they're cheering it along. To us, it is disgusting. To us, it probably proves the point, the suspicion that, they call it the Biden crime family. If they weren't the crime family, why do they need pardons, right? Look, there's a lot of attention that's going to be paid to this, and I think that is appropriate, and we will be looking at it as well.
Here's a tip to the GOP. Let go.
Well, here's my thing. There's no doubt in my opinion that the Bidens did commit what they've been accused of doing. The math doesn't add up. I know we've been talking about mathematics today. You don't need to be an algebra expert to figure out that the Bidens were doing it. But I don't need another song and dance, another pony show, the Jim Jordan. And I love Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan's one of my favorite Republicans. But I'm at the point now where I'm more worried about the cost of living crisis. I'm more worried about deportations. Mm-hmm. But I just, what I try to do is look at it professionally from this show standpoint and personally for my life. Would these investigations create big takes? Yes. So that would be cool. But all I care about is the cost of living crisis. The groceries, the housing market, energy, crime, wars, and border. That's it. The rest of it is talk show fodder, which I love. That's what I do for a living. It's how I feed my family. But it's not going to go anywhere. And I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. I just, put it like number 10 on the list. But there's 9 other things I care about.
They were already investigating them. Remember late summer, or no, midsummer, I would say. Remember the House Oversight Committee? They released the report. And they were continuing these investigations, especially into James Biden, right, his brother, who he just pardoned, and Hunter as well, but more focused on James Biden and some of those financial activities. So I think that they have a course where they have to follow up. They have a certain, this involved IRS whistleblowers and all of those whistleblowers. I think they have an obligation if they were already tasked with just finishing the investigation.
Right.
But I agree with you that I do think the American people, I don't care if somebody was pardoned or not, they need to know what they did and how they did it so that nobody can do it again. Because remember, what was his name? He had that Bobulinski. Remember the
Tony Bobulinski.
And you never hear anything about him.
No.
But he was very detailed in saying that even there were, texts and emails like, they'll never catch us because we're smarter, and how they hid all the money and weaved it through. So we do need to know how they, if they did do it, which they allegedly did a whole lot of things.
Yep.
We need to know. We need to button that up, because then they can create legislation.
I'm far more
that will close those loopholes.
For sure.
That's important.
I'm just saying, I'm far more interested in the Faucis of the world as far as those investigations, because that directly impacted our lives, right? What Fauci did or didn't do, what all these tyrants did during the pandemic that restricted our rights. I'd like to know more about the Biden situation, but Joe Biden lining his pocket doesn't directly impact me.
Real quick here, the interesting investigation, and again, they need to do legislation to stop these loopholes. We learned in the Fauci investigation, and part of this came out during testimony last summer, and this ties into what's happening here in our area, with a story that I just broke on Monday in Bucks County and beyond. And that is officials who violate sunshine laws locally at the federal level. They all are apparently doing this. This has been brought to light, where they use different means of communicating and negotiating things. And they avoid and circumvent the sunshine laws and they avoid, you know, things getting out in those freedom of requests, freedom of information requests.
Yeah.
And so we do need the legislation to stop that, and that is part of what the committees in Washington are looking into.
All I remember, all I know, is the investigations that went on and on and on into Trump for 4 years. And I remember the Republicans and you guys saying, just let it go, just let it go, just let it go. There's nothing there, there's nothing there, there's nothing there. So now all of a sudden we're going to...
The difference, Greg,
now the shoe's on the other foot. Everybody's like, yeah, get him, get him.
The difference, Greg, is they were looking for a crime. In this case, we have whistleblowers and who have come forth and given tangible evidence of things that should not have happened. At this point, they're not going to do anything. They can't do anything. Everybody's pardoned to the Biden family. But we can do something by making sure these things are tightened up and they don't happen again. And this has local ramifications with these local officials. Meg Brock still is being dragged through the courts by Bucks County as a taxpayer and citizen who, as a mom, who simply filed freedom of information requests. That's it. And she ended up embroiled in things for years. It's ridiculous.
One last thing on the whole investigations, as well as releasing things like JFK, RFK, and MLK. You know what always people, I think, they forget to keep their eye on the ball? Think about this. We get caught up in investigating Fauci, investigating Biden, investigating Trump. And then we sit there and say, man, I can't wait for the Epstein list and all the declassification, Area 51. Don't take your eyes off the ball. And by the way, I honestly don't even care if JFK, MLK, and RFK, if that gets released. You know why? Because while we're talking about what's in there or not in there, what's redacted and what's not redacted, what's happening?
Yeah.
People are lining their pockets. These are nothing more than sideshow distractions to get the citizens to take their eyes off of the ball while these slime balls are greasing their pockets.
Well, that's just it. And by the way, I'm sorry, Greg.
Good.
No, go.
I mean, Trump had the chance to release all those documents during his administration, remember, regarding JFK, and they said it was a national security risk.
Yeah.
And so to me, part of this is when they were trying to raid Mar-a-Lago and say he had certain things, I do think because as commander-in-chief already for 4 years, they feared that he would expose the deep state and how it works. I think they fear that now.
Total side topic question here. Do you really think Trump is going to release the JFK files?
No.
He did not before.
As a guy that almost had his life taken. If the JFK files are as damning as many people believe, with our own government's involvement, you think twice, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, the Epstein files won't be released. The JFK files won't be released. None of those files.
And the RFK files, yeah.
I don't know if old
old Bobby,
if old Bobby gets in, maybe.
I smell it.
I mean, Trump has said he says release the documents.
Release the tape.
And he says it's a first step in restoring government transparency.
Yeah.
Will they release? He has said JFK, RFK, MLK.
Yep.
So of those three,
yeah,
I actually think the number one priority is the files about MLK.
Hmm.
Because I think that, to me personally, I think we should know, well, who participated in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And who wanted to take Martin Luther King Jr. down?
Right.
And especially as Trump is accused of, you know, he's accused of being a racist and all this and that. Well, let's see.
Yeah.
Because we know which party has the racist roots.
Right.
And what was the government's involvement? What did they know? What did they or did they not do?
Mm-hmm. So speaking of Speaker Johnson, Mike Johnson, he took video yesterday this was the other day, but it was released yesterday of J.D. Vance getting into going into the Oval Office for the first time. It's pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah. As somebody who's been in that Oval Office, Dawn has,
yes,
as well. It's pretty like you go in there and you're like, oh, wow, this is.
You can feel it.
Yeah, you can feel it. And him going in there for the first time, you could tell, as somebody who's done that, you can tell that feeling. And you can watch the video, too. YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. If you want to see all these videos, roll it, Phil.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
describe it for the...
There's JD behind Trump, going through different doorways. Here they come, closing down the stretch they come. Here's Trump. Check it out. Going in.
Wow. This is J.D. Vance's first time to step into the Oval Office.
It's incredible.
This is incredible.
Look at the look on his face.
It's wild to know, Dawn, since you and I have been there, that he hasn't been there before.
Yeah. As a senator.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Right?
I mean, he's the vice president again. You know, like this was his first this was his first day doing it. But, like, it's wild to think that, like, we, you know, the plebes like us were there, but he hasn't been there.
You know what it also shows me is that J.D. Vance, the more you get to learn about him, he's just a common person.
Real people.
Yep.
Like, I get it. A lot of politicians are frauds, and I'm sure there's some fraudulence to J.D. Remember, he was a non-Trump guy 8 years ago. But, you know, watching him in the interview that he did, where was he? Where he had just a ball cap on, and he was drinking a soda. Was that Rogan? I forget what interview. It was when he was doing the big media blitz in September and October.
It was Theo Vaughn.
It was Theo Vaughn.
Yep.
And he came off just like your routine, ordinary guy. And remember the stretch we had where the word of the day was weird?
Yep.
And everybody was trying to say that J.D. Vance is a weird dude.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. J.D. Vance, outside of the weird eyeliner stuff... No, he's just, I don't know. Maybe he dies. I don't know what it is. But other than that, like, he comes off just like a regular routine dude from Ohio.
Yep.
I like him.
I will tell you that my youngest son has that coloring. There are pictures of him where you would swear he has eyeliner and he doesn't have any, you know, he's like, even as a kid.
Yep.
Those blue eyes with the dark lashes. So
And the beard's a good look for him.
It is.
Because without the beard.
A little more coif.
Oh, man. He had that real fat, chubby face.
You know, I just think, you know, to your point, when he walks in, he looks around. He's kind of like a kid, you know, taking in the room, the Oval Office.
Yeah. He's like a kid on a field trip.
He is.
Yes.
And just thinking about, no doubt, in that great speech he gave during the Republican National Convention, but thinking about his humble roots. I mean, he's somebody who grew up, you know, without his dad. His grandmother, basically, you know, grandparents and grandmom pretty much raising him. Mom, thank God, has been. And we look forward to that celebration because, remember, he said she'll be, 10 years sober and non-addicted. Mm-hmm. And they were going to celebrate, you know, he would celebrate with her in the White House. So, you know, somebody who comes from very humble, poor roots, hillbilly elegy.
Yep.
If you've never read the book or seen the movie, it's worth seeing. And then to serve our country honorably, to go on to, you know, get a, you know, scholarship and whatnot at Ivy League schools. And I mean, I'm sure that struck him that, wow, I never thought that I'd be here.
Yeah. I know we're still 2.5-3 years away from thinking about the next, you know, election, but there's no question in my mind he's got the inside track for the Republican nomination. I think guys like DeSantis and anybody else that wants to, you know, make another run at it, they've got their work cut out.
And Ramaswamy.
And Vivek. One of the biggest turnoff for DeSantis was just the awkward nature of him. And Vance has shown that he can be just a natural dude, whereas DeSantis, I think, is going to have to correct that if he is going to appeal to the masses.
Speaking of the Oval Office, Sean Hannity did an interview last night with Trump. Well, it was taped the other day, but it aired last night.
Yeah, I've got a take on this.
A couple of cuts from there. Talking about FEMA, Trump suggesting that he should eliminate FEMA because, quote, "I'd rather see states take care of their own problems." I don't know about that, but okay, let's try this out. Roll it, Phil.
They have a small majority. You went through over 200 since we've got here, and we have breaking news today that we'll get to in a minute, and especially as it relates to the border and some other issues. But you're going to need to do some of these things legislatively. You will probably play the largest role in uniting them both in the House and Senate. Reconciliation, the Senate has very strict, you know, rules governing how they can do it. Do you, one big beautiful bill, two bills, do you care at this point?
I don't care as long as we get to the final answer. I like the concept of the one bill. I guess I said one big beautiful, and that's what everyone faces. Actually, it's sort of a nice sound to it. but I do like that concept. It could be something else. It could be a smaller bill and a big bill.
Right.
But as long as we get to the right answer. Now, I will say that Los Angeles has changed everything because a lot of money is going to be necessary for Los Angeles. And a lot of people on the other side want that to happen. And
North Carolina, too.
Well, they don't care about North Carolina. The Democrats don't care about North Carolina. What they've done with FEMA is so bad. FEMA is a whole other discussion because all it does is complicate everything. FEMA has not done their job for the last 4 years. You know, I had FEMA working really well. We had hurricanes in Florida. We had Alabama tornadoes. But unless you have certain types of leadership, it's really, it gets in the way. And FEMA is going to be a whole big discussion very shortly because I'd rather see the states take care of their own problems. If they have a tornado someplace and if they let that state, Oklahoma is very competent. I love Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. 77 out of 77 districts. And that's never been done before. I did it three times. I mean, think of it. Three times. Never been done. Ronald Reagan had the record, 56. 56 out of 77. I got 77 out of 77.
He's all over the place.
So you have to love a place like that. I love Oklahoma. But you know what? If they get hit with a tornado or something, let Oklahoma fix it. You don't need. And then the federal government can help them out with the money. The FEMA is getting in the way of everything. And the Democrats actually use FEMA not to help North Carolina.
It makes no sense.
So I'm stopping on Friday. I'm stopping in North Carolina. First stop.
Yeah.
Because those people were treated very badly by Democrats.
Well, I mean, I don't even know where to begin. There was in like nine conversations within one clip.
Hannity is such a terrible interviewer.
He is.
Like, what do you think, sir?
Yeah.
What do you think,
sick.
Sir?
That was one of my takes last night watching that. I am so sick and tired of him talking about his personal friendship and relationship with Donald Trump. If I'm a casual observer, and I get it, this audience hardcore listens to us all the time, might watch, you know, all these interviews all the time. But the reality is most people are tuning in small doses and they don't live it and breathe it. When they tune in, they want information. They want you to land the stinking plane and let your interviewee speak. I don't care that Sean, your boy, I have no desire to know about your friendship. It means nothing to me. Stop telling us you're butt buddies with Donald Trump. I don't care. And the American public doesn't care.
Joe Rogan was good with him because he just let him talk.
Yes.
I'll never forget Laura Ingraham surprisingly had a thing with Trump during the campaign. And I thought she's an excellent interviewer. And I would acknowledge I study this stuff because I want to be a better interviewer. These are specific skill sets, but I felt the same way as you did watching last night.
Just nauseating. But to actually answer that,
thank you.
Also, by the way, I think we have more wildfires in California.
We do.
Another 50,000 acres?
Yeah, it's the winds whipping up and new wildfires even.
I mean, at this point, Los Angeles might be devastated.
Definitely. That's why he's headed there this weekend.
Yeah.
I will say this with FEMA and Trump. When Trump was saying this last night, I said, good for you. FEMA is this huge, and I have friends who, I won't get into it, but, you know, worked in one branch of the military and are those called up to work within FEMA in different capacities. FEMA has become this large, bumbling, bureaucratic organization.
That gets in the way.
So give the money and the resources when you can to the local individuals and let them do it. But you've got to make sure that they've got the ground game.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying, Don. But just to play devil's advocate for a second, when you decimate, like Los Angeles did, your fire department, your police department, you don't have those people to, like, you almost need government organizations because there's nobody left to help you.
I mean, if the answer was sending everything back to the states, California would have been prepared, right? It's like, how can you? So I get it. FEMA's a disaster. And there's so many questions to ask. Is FEMA salvageable? Can Trump come in and do something different with FEMA that the Biden administration failed to do as far as, you know, allocating resources or hiring the more competent, adequate staffing people? I mean, then you go to his success that he had, whether you're on board with it or not, relegating abortion back to the states. He made it. But now it feels like, and I'm just thinking of everything he has said recently. So he had success of getting Roe v. Wade out of the federal government. It's a state-by-state issue now. He also wants to get rid of the Department of Education, which I am totally on board with. But the reality is that that's probably a pipe dream. Since that agency or department was created in 1979 by Jimmy Carter, nothing has gone right with the Department of Education. Yeah. All the money we have pumped in for 46 years, and our schools are a laughingstock compared to other countries.
I will say this, relating it to what we do here, and I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but I don't care. When things are done locally here, me, David Yadgroff, Dave Skopanich, Rob Kalustian, and all of you guys, things get done very well. When they go up to another level and they have to be approved and this person needs this and this person needs that, that's when you run into the problems. So Dawn is correct that when you have these big bureaucratic agencies that have to oversee everything, it lessens the impact of getting stuff done. Mm-hmm. And when you're in disasters like this, you need to get stuff done.
Well, and also when you talk about sending, well, let's just say FEMA gets wiped off of the map, right? And Trump wants to send it to the states. Then you get into, okay, red state, blue state. I feel, and this is a partisan take, but I think it's factually correct. Look at the way DeSantis handles disasters in Florida.
Yep.
And then compare that to California. And then you also look at the North Carolina angle. There are still people, probably to this day, and I know, Dawn, you bring it up from time to time in our conversations. I still believe there are people displaced in North Carolina months later.
Oh, 100%. I mean, first of all, more than 100 people died. And, you know, FEMA has received a huge backlash from all of this. And now they're having, as we've been talking about this week, they've had an unusual winter with frigid temperatures overnight. And these people lost their homes. So they're in RVs. Then there was no, because they're relying on propane tanks. Mm-hmm. They don't have the propane.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then it's a nightmare. And so FEMA has been a bureaucratic, bumbling disaster in the South. But to your point, and Trump did say they're having meetings that are happening like this week to try to figure this out. I do think, obviously, the federal government has to provide some kind of scaffolding. And then I imagine that you would have to have a federal law by which the state government would have to present what's your game plan,
mm-hmm.
and somehow have the scaffolding in place that everybody knows the game plan. And the best example I can think of is Florida. Now, granted, they've dealt with hurricanes. You know what I mean? So they are right. Prepared.
Nothing new. Yep.
But look at, you know, the level of hurricane that Florida had. They've got it down. They've got, and they're a good example.
Yep.
Obviously, North Carolina and some of these southern states, and different. I understand it's all different, you know, geographically and so on with the mountains and everything. But I'll say this. North Carolina did not have their you-know-what together.
No, they didn't.
As a state.
No.
And so the fact that FEMA doesn't have theirs together, disaster.
Like the blind leading the blind.
Mm-hmm. Hannity also asked about the J6 blanket pardons. This is cut 19, Phil. Go.
So you did run on a platform. You were very straightforward. You said you would pardon these people that were sentenced for January 6th.
No, totally.
You did. The only criticism or pushback I've seen is about people that were convicted or were involved in incidents where they were violent with police. Why did they get a pardon?
A number of reasons. Number one, they were in there for 3.5 years, a long time.
Right.
And in many solitary confinement, treated like nobody's ever been treated so badly. They were treated like the worst criminals in history. And you know what they were there for? They were protesting the vote because they knew the election was rigged and they were protesting the vote. And that should be allowed to protest a vote. You should be allowed to. You know, when the day comes...
You shouldn't be able to invade the Capitol.
No, ready? Most of the people were absolutely innocent. Okay, but forgetting all about that, these people have served horribly a long time. It would be very, very cumbersome to go and... Look, you know how many people we're talking about? 1,500 people. Almost all of them should not have happened. And the other thing is this, some of those people were the police, true, but
they were very minor incidents, okay? You know, they get built up by that a couple of fake guys that are on CNN all the time.
Nobody watches.
They were very minor incidents, and it was time. You have murderers in Philadelphia. You have murderers in Los Angeles that don't even get any time. They don't even collect them, and they know they're there to be collected. Mm-hmm. And then they go on television and act holier than thou about this one or that one. You had 1,500 people that suffered. That's a lot of people. Do you know, they were looking for new people 2 weeks ago. They were looking, wait a minute, they were looking to charge new people. They have a woman who's 76 years old that they said was made a statement that was a little bit out of line years after the fact. This was a political hoax. And you know what? Those people, and I'm not saying in every single case, but there was a lot of patriotism with those people, a lot of patriotism. You know, they did a recording, and you know, they asked me if I'd do the voiceover, and I did. Yeah. Do you know it was the number one selling, whatever you call it nowadays, album, whatever, song,
CD,
whatever you call it. You don't know, it changes every year, right? But it was the number one selling song, number one on Billboard, number one on everything, on everything for so long. People get it. They wanted to see those people.
American people were aware. You told them what you would do. Biden said he would not do it. Let me move on to the economy. By the way, it's so important. It was such a big
I was very clear about it.
Very clear.
I said I was going to release him, and probably very quickly. And they voted for me, and I won in a landslide. And that was only one of the many reasons.
Joe said he would not.
So, you know, you can sit here and compare Trump's pardons versus Biden's pardons, and you could do it until you're blue in the face. But I'm going to give Hannity credit. There's two things that he brought up that I thought of myself last night as I was watching this, is the Democrats cannot be the party of letting out killers and failing to prosecute people and having guys on subways with 47 arrests and be fine with that, and then cry when somebody gets released from prison early after 3.5 years.
Pearl clutching, you're right. You're absolutely right.
That is astounding to me. And then, of course, say what you want. You know, Joe, that the other thing that Sean makes a good point is, Joe said he wouldn't and then did. Trump's called his shot all along.
It's true.
He's doing, he told you for 4 years he would, so you shouldn't be shocked.
That's what I said from day one. It's like, you can't be, like, liberals can't be shocked at this. He said he was going to do it. Yep. He did it. He said he was going to do it on day one.
And to your point, and you make a good point in the past, all of this stuff was on the ballot.
It was.
Right? And this is what Americans voted for, you're in the minority if you're crying about it,
folks. The American people cared about it, they would have voted the other way. They didn't. They did. So, like, this is elections have consequences. This is one of the consequences. If you don't like it, vote a different way next time or don't stay home. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I'll also point out that even though he's president, I mean, the truth is there are civil suits by Capitol Police officers who are suing Trump, who are suing some of the J6ers who have been jailed all these years. And so those civil suits will go through.
Oh, sure.
So there is legal remedy, if you will, if indeed they want to, in civil suits, get some kind of retribution.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to continue through the courts. There's no stopping the civil suits by those Capitol Police officers. Yep. But release the, you know, nobody's talking about the fact that, you know, what about the allegations, strong allegations, that tangible evidence was destroyed?
Yes.
So what is up with that? Because obviously if you know about spoliation, if you know about, you know, destroying evidence in a civil or criminal case, that's a crime in and of itself. Mm-hmm. It's not allowed. But that usually is a slam dunk. If somebody spoliated evidence or destroyed evidence in any case, it's dismissed. Boom. It's done.
And this is not a dig at the subject, so to speak, or the topic, because, you know, if it comes up in the cut sheet, we're obviously going to talk about it. But we saw the polls, and one of the polls that I thought was really paramount, that was probably writing on the wall for the Democrats, that they probably should. And again, you take polls with a grain of salt, right? That's the motto we've adopted on this show. But only 5% of Americans in the Gallup poll said January 6th was what comes to mind when they hear the name Donald Trump. 95% of people do not care anymore about January 6th, one way or the other. And they made that the crux of their campaign, if you think about it. And they didn't read the room properly.
They did not. He did talk about the pardons that Biden gave to his family members. And he said the funny thing is that he didn't give himself a pardon.
That is pretty interesting.
Roll cut 20, Phil.
She should have dropped out. At least she wouldn't have that moniker.
Before I go to the economy and foreign policy, let me, as long as you brought up this topic, Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, Adam Schiff, who got a preemptive pardon, all these people that got pardoned, Anthony Fauci, did he know that NIH money through the EcoHealth Alliance was funding the Wuhan Virology Lab? There seems to be text and messages and emails that went back and forth. You talk about the unselect committee, as you call it, the January 6th committee. They had a predetermined outcome. General Milley, all these people, the Biden family members, Joe Biden ran and said he would never do preemptive pardons. It was an issue that came up when you were leaving your first time.
Oh, he thought, he heard that I was going to do it. I didn't want to do it. I was given the option. They said, sir, would you like to pardon everybody, including yourself? I said, I'm not going to pardon anybody. We didn't do anything wrong. And we had people that suffered. They're incredible patriots. We had people that suffered. You had Bannon put in jail. You had Peter Navarro put in jail. You had people that suffered. And far worse than that, they've lost their fortunes. They've lost their whatever, their nest egg, paying it to lawyers. And those people, and people said, you know, and they wouldn't have even taken, most of those people, they wouldn't have even taken a pardon. This guy went around giving everybody pardons. And you know, the funny thing, maybe the sad thing, is he didn't give himself a pardon. And if you look at it, it all had to do with him. I mean, the money went to him.
Should Congress investigate that?
Well, I don't know. It's, you know, I've always been, look, he didn't give himself a pardon. And he didn't give some other people a pardon that needed it.
Kamala.
And I heard Schiff went to him and just begged him for a pardon because Schiff is a crook. Schiff is a crooked guy. He's a crooked politician.
I mean, Schiff said that he didn't want a pardon.
Totally made it up. You know, he's a storyteller. And then after he made it up, they found out that there was a tape of the conversation made by, you know, I guess the State Department. I don't know. When you make calls, they make tapes sometimes, not all the time.
He was the one talking to the Russians.
So he, in the meantime, made up the conversation, totally made it up about quid pro quo. There was no quid pro quo. Just there was a perfect call. Tim Scott was the first one to come. He read it. He said, this is a perfect call. What are you doing? You're impeaching a man for a perfect call. It was Schiff. Schiff, Hillary, the whole group. You know what? They should. Schiff is just a bad, sick guy. And he went to Biden and he demanded a pardon because he thought he did something. He knew
Benny
he did
Thompson
something.
Benny Thompson won the chairman of that committee.
Benny Thompson destroyed, along with that unselect committee, destroyed all of the work that took place over 2 years. You know why? It showed that I was right.
Ooh, we even got the sound effect in there as we go to commercial. I love the fact that the internet and social media always keeps receipts because now you can bring up what Joe Biden said on December 11th, 2024. Anybody that accepts a pardon is basically saying this is an admission of guilt. So you can come back and use that right here with Biden pardoning all of these different people that he did. And we've talked about it, you know. Why would Fauci need a pardon if he didn't do anything wrong? Again, it's still my personal belief that he's perjured himself a half dozen times. But the pardons, I think, are something that generate clickbait. But another one of these things where, you know, we're not going to see anything. For those that aren't pardoned, does anybody actually believe that Trump's going to go after Joe Biden? Because he's not pardoned, right? And also, if you're Joe, you think Joe just forgot to pardon himself?
Well, anyway,
I have a lot more that I want to get to. Plus, I want to get to this video. I don't know if you guys saw this. This Florida cop who accidentally shoots the driver with his own gun in a routine traffic stop. Did you guys see this?
No.
get on over to YouTube. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD if you want to see this video. I might say something sexist here because of the gender of the police officer.
Okay. Well, we like that.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. But we should do that on the other side.
All right, we will do that when we come back. By the way, the 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squeal or a grinding noise? No, it's not Bobby Kennedy. It's probably your brakes. Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians will diagnose the problem. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. That's M-E-I-N-E-K-E. Why did I spell it? Because in 30 minutes, we will have our spelling bee on the show in honor of our mayor, Sherelle Parker, who could not spell
E-L-E-S-E-S. Eagles!
Stay tuned. Kale and Company, back after this.
Okay, there's something I want you to do, and you got to do this today because time is running out. Until the end of January, until the end of this month, you can receive 50% off any standard door installation when you purchase a new door from my friends at Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. You know they've done a beautiful job on my home. And you know by now, if I needed windows, doors, siding, stucco remediation, any of that, I would trust only the Chapman family team. So this is your deadline. I mean, I know you're thinking about it, a little makeover. And I think when you change the look of your front door, it just, you drive up and such a feeling of pride and awe. Oh, it looks like a whole makeover. What did you do? Well, you got a new front door with a little help from my friends at Chapman. Maybe you have an upcoming wedding, a graduation, something special coming up where you will be entertaining. Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, they carry a huge range of top brands, the best brands to choose from, including Provia. That's what I have. They're going to work with you to pick the perfect door for you. You can visit their local showroom. It's in Westchester, or they can come to your home. Either way, whether you or somebody you know you're looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, the hardware choices, give them a call. Text them now, unless you're driving. Then wait a second. 610-431-8898. You can take a virtual tour. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Remember, TikTok, you have until the end of January to get that 50% off any standard door installation when you purchase a new front door. Do this. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.